Welcome to the new iteration of The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. Charlottesville poet Greg Orr's 11th book of poems, which is also his most hopeful collection, is called River Inside the River. Greg and I got to talking about such things as faith and meaning before we turned our mics on. Indeed, Mr. Orr links his need to write poetry back to his childhood loss of meaning.
And that would be because growing up in the countryside in upstate New York, at the age of 12, I killed a younger brother in a hunting accident. And we're speaking about religion briefly. I kind of lost religion with that death, with the horror of that death, and that somebody that very day tried to console me about my brother's death by telling me that he was in heaven with Jesus. And it was a day when every time I closed my eyes, I actually saw him lying at my feet dead. So that in a single day, not only were all comfortable meanings of the world that I lived in abolished, but also possible consolations like, well, a way to understand this strange, horrible thing is to put it in a religious perspective. But I couldn't. It simply wasn't credible to me. So I was kind of completely desolated and also surrounded by silence for various reasons. Always thought someday I'll talk to my mother and she'll try to understand what I feel about this tragedy and she'll forgive me. And then she died overnight when I was 14. So I felt at that point that the world is without meanings. How do you live without meanings? Quick answer to that is you don't, you can't. So I started casting about for something to keep me alive. And I found two things. One was writing poems. A high school librarian encouraged a number of us to write. And when I first wrote poems, I just loved it, partly because I saw, oh, you can create a world out of words and escape into it, which of course is what we do when we read too as young people. But also, it was expressive of the need to escape from it. That is to say, some of the poems I wrote when I was really young had the misery and despair of being in the world in them. Again, I'm describing my poems, but also every adolescent's poems. Mm-hmm. You know, the burden of being a person, with a little extra pressure from the fact that it was you know, these other things that happened to me. The other way I thought of where I saw a life could be meaningful was in social activism. And I was growing up in the early 60s and joined the civil rights movement as a kid. And at 18, I went south to Mississippi in 1965, where I had various violent misadventures.
Yes,
I mean, I'll call them misadventures.
You were severely beaten.
Yeah, beaten and kidnapped at gunpoint by vigilantes and things like that. Yeah, held in a very murderous little town for a while. And so I saw from that violence was more pervasive in the world than I'd realized. That it wasn't just hunting accidents and the death
which
of loved
ones. Which is what killed your brother.
Which is what killed my brother, but okay. That it was also something pervasive in our culture. And again, I felt like, oh, well, we must resist this. And also, if you become a martyr in a good cause, then that's a meaningful life. So that was part of my plan. Young boy goes to war sort of story, you know.
And that was part of your plan in going down to Mississippi.
I think so, because Goodman, Schwerner, and Cheney had just been killed. And
those were the three
civil rights workers murdered by the Klan in Philadelphia, Mississippi. They made a movie called Mississippi Burning based on it, where many people might have seen that as a sign to stay away. I thought that was a sign to go. So,
and that was tied in with the death of your brother.
For me, going.
Yes.
Sure. I mean, because I think what I felt was one of my searches for meaning was a kind of to redeem my own life, because I felt I had done such an horrible thing. And I thought, well, I have to do some kind of penance. And civil rights movement seemed like a way to risk a life in a cause that seemed, you know, noble to me. And the other way of penance, I thought, was this thing of making poems.
We shall overcome someday.
Gore's first books of poetry were about his brother and his mother, as he puts it, bringing that agony into speech. Then, back in 2000, he put his agony into a plain-spoken memoir he called The Blessing. I read it very fast, often horrified, sometimes amused, and always thinking, how does a kid survive this intact?
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you that, and I'm going to ask it as a serious question.
Yeah, no. Sometimes I think about it, I think, gee, how did that kid survive? He really was stubborn. I mean, when I say that didn't think there was any meaning in life, I mean, I mean it. And you need that. You need love. You need people. You need things you believe in and so on and so forth. And it was very scary. How do you survive? And of course, intact is a complicated term. I think I survived as a very melancholy person for a long time. I think a lot of the early work is very sad and depressed. In the second book, I wrote a poem called Gathering the Bones Together, and it talked about somebody dreaming that they would spend their life in a field gathering bones together. Well, for me, I knew this is myself. These are my brother's bones, my mother's bones. It's a penitential act, but it's one very grim. I mean, kind of hopeless. I mean, so what? What are you going to do when you're done? You have a pile of bones? I mean, the guy's still living, but what is a pile of bones, really? Okay, cut to 2003, when it was a moment of grace. I woke up one morning, and a voice in my head said, the book that is the resurrection of the body of the beloved, which is the world, clear as a bell, it spoke to me inside my head. And then it started reciting some poems to me, which I wrote down. And those poems, the second poem I wrote down, first poem, spoke about a book, and it capitalized the book with a B. It's a secular book, but it's a book that contains every lyric, poem, and song ever written. Okay? What's it doing? It's huge, right? It's a jukebox as big as the moon, right? I mean, it's huge. What's it doing? Where did it come from? We created it, we human beings. Why? So that we would have testimony about what it is to be a human being. You know, what it is to love and lose and suffer and be filled with joy. All these things are put in the book so that when we need them, we can get the ones we need. We can download the playlist that will help us survive, okay? So this was just happening to me, these poems. And to me, it was a change in my whole life outlook, my whole outlook as to what poetry was. I always wanted poetry to give to the world. But still, I was trapped in this penitential thing about gathering the bones together, which is like this French anthropologist once spoke about a monomyth. It's like a myth with only one believer. It's not doing the job of myth, which is to have shared stories, right? And I thought, whoa, this gathering the bones together is a monomythic project. But gathering the poems together, which is what we do in the book, is a social act, and it's a collective myth. It's what we all do. All poets and songwriters, they write their poems. I mean, they write them for their own private purposes and personal purposes, joy, sorrow, whatever, expressive, you know, rebalance the self. But when they're done with them, they just put them in the book.
Yeah.
And there they are. And so I can go to the book and find a poem written in China 2,000 years ago and read it and start weeping because somebody's speaking to me. What? If that's not religious event or mystic event or whatever the hell you want to call it, I don't really care what you call it. But we've got a hell of a lot of testimony that people have, you know, had that experience. And of course, you have the same experience with rock and roll as a kid. How could you live if somebody didn't put that song on the jukebox, which never did make it to the top 10, but it spoke to you, right?
It's a turn down day, just a turn round day. It's a turn down day, and I dig it.
You'll find a link to Gregor reading poems from his new book, River Inside the River, on the Spark page at WMRA.org.